Hello, WWE Universe in the Philippines. This is Charlotte, and you're with Stan, Roe, and Raph on the SGP podcast. Woo!
Are you ready? Marks and Smarks. This is the Smart Gilas Pilipinas podcast.
You are listening to the longest-running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. This is the Smart Gilas Pilipinas podcast, complete once again in the one-bedroom apartment. Stan, Studio. Roe, and Camus all together.
Okay,
yeah. Hello.
Yeah, so we're recording this on Feb 16.
Hello to new fans, by the way.
Yeah, thank you to the people who started liking, started following. Yeah, we're recording this Feb 16, which is technically a year and a day. A day after the anniversary of Eddie Guerrero's WWE title win at No Way Out from 13 years ago.
Imagine we could have had kids.
What?
We could have had kids in the time since.
Yeah, but why would you want
to? No.
If we had,
we were 14 back then. Why would you want to have a kid?
I didn't say we want to. I'm just saying we could have had kids, and that kid would be in grade school by now.
Do you know what you sound like right now? You sound like the idiot who told Roe, "You should be a dad, pa. Should be a father, pa. Because on Father's Day, pa. On Father's Day, I can do whatever I want, pa. I am the king of my house, pa. In my underwear, pa. And I can watch whatever channel I want, pa."
We are like, how many seconds into this?
Legitimate quote, by the way. It really did happen to me. He really did say that.
Fucking idiot. He doesn't understand how we are in the perfect time of our lives right now. With no responsibility or little responsibility.
You have no responsibilities.
Oh yes, I do have responsibilities.
Teka, we already have enough on our plates.
Yeah, exactly.
Without children. But why would you want to do that?
So why would I want a fat kid on my bed?
Oh, eventually one day it's going to make me happy, but still.
Imagine the child named Eddie Camus.
Why? Why would I imagine that?
He would be so happy right now.
Yeah, but that child would because have he could no watch value that match. To me right now.
He could watch that match on the WWE Network right now and say, "Daddy, did you really name me after that?" "Yes, I did."
But really, there are so many other people named Eddie.
This is my favorite. This is my favorite Eddie Guerrero match. Like I will say, like from the whole body of work, it's just the pure emotional.
Because
the pure emotional win that this was, and for it to go down,
main accomplishment
in Oakland.
Oh yeah,
this shit went down in Oakland.
No, it was in San Francisco.
Cow's Palace. My bad. Cow's Palace, yeah, not the Oracle. Sorry,
you lived.
Sorry, it is on the way.
Do people still hold children in Cow's Palace?
No,
Martin Rivera.
But they renamed it,
Martin Rivera. It's not Cow's Palace anymore. It's something else. But Martin Rivera
when
had shows there while I was there.
When was this?
Wait, can we stop digressing and go back to Eddie?
Oh, it's last
but
year?
Yes. No, not last year. But ABS used to hold that shit down.
That's true.
You know, Cow's Palace.
OFWs. Oh, that's fine. Stop digressing now.
Yeah. Okay, so I Eddie actually Guerrero's watched win.
It. I rewatched it
today
for the first time since. Well, the first time I caught it.
Really?
Years ago. Yeah.
Seriously? You spammed this match.
Clearly, you didn't read the article that I wrote.
I wrote the backstory there.
I wrote the backstory there. I've always watched the pre-match video packages. Every time I would feel bad, I would watch that.
It's beautiful.
And I would always stop right after the entrances, just because for one reason or another, I could never just watch the match. Like, I would never have time. Or something. Something always comes up. Like, I could never sit through the entire half hour that the match actually takes.
Oh, it's fun. I like watching the match whenever I feel like I need to. I need some motivation. Because it's weird to see. You know, back then I didn't realize how it was for Eddie to win like that. Nah. Goldberg was there; he hit the spear. It's okay, and you know, watching it again with better eye, it wasn't that bad because Goldberg did not contribute to the finish
directly.
Yes.
Yeah, hindi pa agad kasi there was still another shenanigan Goldberg.
It was so well protected.
Yeah,
he was so well protected.
Yeah, rewatching it again was actually it was an experience on its own. Yeah, the bottle's pretty loud, so you might want to get rid of that. So it was an experience on its own in the sense that I'm making all these observations that 14-year-old me could not have made.
Yep.
So stuff
all
like
all of the nuances.
Yeah, I didn't all realize how vocal and animated Brock was. Like there was a point where he was yelling, "Just die, Eddie, just die," which is very jarring given what happened less than 2 years afterwards.
Hindi mo sipin na naman talaga, but yeah. That was Brock back then, for sure.
Yeah, because Brock was just running his mouth back then. He wasn't the...
He was young, cocky heel. Now he's just cocky heel.
No, not just that. Ibaning style niya. Yeah. He was so WWE style.
He would run through you now. Eh?
No. He was so WWE style at the time. Mm-hmm. But now he's such a legit shoot fighter, even in the way he wrestles. So that's something I also identified in the throwback piece on Smart Henry. Na it's if you've been so convinced by the retcon job that WWE did on Brock, you'll totally forget the body of work he did from 02 to 04.
True.
And how stark the contrast was between both Brock Lesnar's. Like, you're seeing a totally different animal wrestling Eddie Guerrero.
And, see, that was full-time Brock Lesnar, though.
Yeah. That was full-time. He had to sort of work safe at times.
It wasn't even that safe.
It wasn't even that safe. But it was safer than what he's doing now.
No. Why is that?
No, back then.
What? Why is it safer than what he's doing now? He's directing you to... A German suplex is actually pretty safe. It's how... The danger lies in how you take it. So if you take it well, okay lang.
You know how his arsenal now is just really suplexes, strikes, and submissions. But at the time, you could see na mas, you know, mas generic WWE hoss heel yung offense niya. And watching Eddie work was really brilliant. It was such a fun thing to experience kasi
re-experience
for the first time in a really long time. He was clearly the babyface. He was clearly the underdog. And yet, everyone seemed so okay when he was doing the traditional heel tactic of grabbing the knee and slamming it against the ring post.
Like, and it's just small things like that against a behemoth like him. Eh.
No, it was more of, we all understand that Eddie's desperate. So, pagbibigyan natin siya kasi tangin na kupal si Brock.
Ang tagal ng kupal si Brock at that time. Eh.
Yeah, I know that. I understand. But if you're going to view it with yung eye that is from a thinking fan, you're trying to study the match.
Yes,
there are traditionalists who would say na, if you're a face, you just stick to face mannerisms. Mm-hmm. Clearly, true. Eddie transcended that. Mm. So that's why I wanted to point that out, because it was fascinating to me. So the match itself was really, really fun to watch, especially towards the end. And like, I always get emotional when I see the clips of Eddie celebrating.
In the crowd.
Yeah, in the crowd, hugging everyone, giving people high fives, celebrating with Mondo and his mother at ringside.
Mondo.
What I didn't expect was at the towards the end when he'd kneel and like clutch the title and then look above. Dun ako nag-tear up. And like that hasn't happened probably since the Eddie tribute video. Like right really? After he died. Yeah. So that was pretty meaningful to me. Wow, I got to experience this all over again. And my biggest takeaway was, man, the magic of wrestling is still real.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, when you've been
the
watching
the magic
this,
of Eddie is still real.
Yeah, and when you've been watching this as long as we have, when you've been Smarks for this long, sometimes it's really hard to just rediscover that and recapture that.
Well, SmackDown makes it easy now.
Sure. Wrestle Kingdom made that so easy for
That's
me.
That's true, for you. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, for you. But I mean, like, I'm not as attached to New Japan as you are. So.
Oh, God. And you haven't seen them live, so.
Yeah.
SmackDown, though.
I mean, let's talk about happy things today. Yeah, SmackDown, though, made it.
Let's start with
SmackDown. SmackDown is magical.
Magical with
both
the Elimination Chamber.
Figuratively
my God.
And literally.
Yeah, there's so how much, did, there's so much to dissect from Elimination Chamber and from
alone.
This week's SmackDown.
I mean, just off the bat, how the fuck did they take Elimination Chamber, a gimmick-based pay-per-view that... You know, we've been shitting on gimmick-based pay-per-views that they should stop doing them altogether. And then they put out a magical snowflake of a pay-per-view like this.
You know why? Because there's a brand split. And now that there was a brand split, you were only obligated to have one chamber match. So you don't have to overexpose a chamber and oversaturate it with other mid-card matches or other
like tag team chamber matches.
Yeah,
or two world title chamber matches.
Or the Intercontinental title chamber match.
So the Elimination Chamber went back to its special snowflake status, as you mentioned. And when you leave it for the main event, like you actually should.
Just the main event.
Oh, and you stock it with real stars. And, you know, a mix of real stars and young lions. When you do that, that's when it becomes magical again.
Yeah, if you remember your Raw Elimination Chambers from like 2005, 2006.
God, those were good.
Those were good. And the mix of superstars was also good. So you had like your Randy Orton's and your Chris Benoit's, but at the same time you would have a Carlito or a Chris Masters. And those roles were filled by the likes of Baron Corbin and Dean Ambrose to an extent.
Is there a chamber play this on the network?
No,
I haven't seen it.
If you type chamber, lalabas
malaki. right? I mean,
there have only been, what, less than 20 chambers in the history of wrestling.
Or I think it was 20. This was the 20th, if I'm not mistaken. I remember getting brought up on commentary. But anyway, back to the point is that this chamber match... Okay, let's just start talking about the chamber match.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, right. Okay. I don't know, but this balance of guys just felt so right.
Because they were the biggest stars of SmackDown. When you do that, by default, it's really going to be good.
But it also exposes how top-heavy SmackDown is. And how
okay, no.
And how thin the rest of the mid-card
is. It doesn't matter,
is.
Though, because they're even the booked mid- well. Oh, anyway, God. Yeah.
Okay, after that...
The only problem is there was no Intercontinental Championship match. But at this point, parang...
That's fine!
Parang, hey, Camus is right. This was the 20th.
Yay!
I mean, at this point, I think you have to give the Intercontinental Champion a spot in the chamber for the world title, diba?
Yeah, because...
Kayfabe deserves it anyway.
Yeah.
Being the mid-card champion.
And Dean being Dean... Hmm. He does deserve it. He looked great in the match. I have to say this.
Everyone looked great in the match.
Walang tapon. And then it's like everyone got great spots. I mean, Corbin hit like what, 3 end of days in a row
without pinning anyone
just because we need to wait for Miz. Ang ganda lang. And it's just like when you're watching it,
we need to wait for Ambrose, but anyway.
But yeah, but when you're watching it, like, you just don't realize how good it is. And then you think to yourself, this was star-making moment for Corbin. Yeah. I'll give him that.
Not really. Because his role in the match was just to further a new feud.
Yeah, and his role was also to show how yung ego can get the best of you.
Yeah,
but he looked so good.
Yeah, but everyone looked good, again. Why are you, like...
I was just saying,
are you ejaculating over one guy?
No, because he hasn't... Okay, I've always had this thing with Baron Corbin where... He's always on the cusp of being really good.
Mm.
And then that was just what solidified it for him. That apparently I can say unequivocally, damn, that guy's good.
Pero
I actually disagree. Because that was just a small sample
of
what Baron Corbin could actually offer.
How can you say unequivocally when there are 5 other guys sharing the spotlight in this match?
And more importantly...
He didn't win.
Yung focus was on the 3 guys who actually made it to the end.
Yeah.
So I would disagree and say, fine, Corbin looked great, but he didn't look so good.
Yeah.
Or he didn't look like a superstar.
Not through any fault of his own.
Okay.
Not through any fault of his own, again, because he is in a chamber match with 5 other guys.
And he had to play the role that was assigned to him.
I guess what you're trying to say is
he played it pretty well.
Oh. He played it very well.
Yeah, and that he deserves to be commended for it. And, you know,
true.
We can stop
that. No one is special because everyone was good in that match.
Okay.
And, well, you know, Bray was extra special. AJ was AJ.
Yeah.
Cena is Cena as well.
So, after Bray, who obviously walks out with his first title win, who looks best after him?
AJ.
Yeah,
he was the last guy to get eliminated.
Yep. My question surrounding the Elimination Chamber and the whole Bray Wyatt arc, I guess, is does this really fit with the evolution of the Bray Wyatt character? Because if you remember, when he first came in, he wasn't about the titles, he wasn't about the championships, he was about showing dominance and fear and trying to get power.
Mm.
And titles for him were a more tangible item that he didn't really want to focus on. So that said, has he evolved to the point where he recognizes the power that comes with being the champion?
Pretty much. You can see it in his opening promo on SmackDown.
Yeah,
you can see
this
it
week.
In pretty much how he dominated the match, how he wrestled the match.
But how do you associate the power with the championship? Like, if you're the champion, it's not like you're the king of the land. You get what I'm trying to say?
In kayfabe, you are.
But you can't direct people to go wherever
You can't direct people, but you can still influence them. Because now you're the best guy out of a mountain of other guys.
And not just that, if you go into his narrative with Randy Orton, he's already asserting dominance by just influencing Orton to say, no, I am gonna go, I'm considering going after.
You can't say that.
It's speculation.
The Randy Orton thing is a long con.
That's a long... Yes, okay, let's give it that. But it's still, right now, at this point in time, even though we're calling con...
I know.
He's influencing his decisions for now.
Why? How? It means you're being played by Randy Orton. Isn't that what he wants you to think?
No, Camus, I'm not going to come
no,
in.
No, 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 wait,
you're
no, wait. I'm just
asked a question right now.
I'm processing.
You are being played by Randy Orton.
If you
believe that, if that's what you think about what the dynamic between Orton and Wyatt, then you're being played by the guy who's playing the guy he's sucking. He's metaphorically sucking his dick.
Here's the hot take posted on Twitter yesterday after SmackDown went off the air. This somehow leads to Luke Harper inserting himself into the main event picture. So there's a battle royal next week to determine the number one contender. Okay. And if I were a betting man, I would probably bet on Harper. And it magically becomes a triple threat.
I think Harper wins, and then they have a match sometime before WrestleMania. To go to like
go
a
home
month
show.
Early
March.
Yeah, because you can't promote that shit. Go home show na.
Early March, so far, 2 weeks from now. They're promoting a big SmackDown 2 weeks from now. Oh, no, it's NXT. But
NXT.
My bad. So Harper wins, gets a match by himself, and then
loses
by interference or something. Whatever it is, he doesn't win the championship, and then Orton reveals the long con. That's what I think is going to happen.
I'm actually hoping for a triple threat. Like,
I don't think it's going to be triple threat.
Yeah, it's probably not going to happen, but like that's my fan service.
But point it in, actually. If they're going with the lesser name championship match for WrestleMania.
But will this close the show? Because I don't think
No. It's one of the many...
You have Goldberg and Lesnar for the Universal Championship.
It's going to be like WrestleMania 20 when you had like four matches all equally billed, quote-unquote. As main events.
But what
close 20?
Benoit.
I don't know. The singles match between Triple H and Shawn Michaels.
Where neither of them won. And a third competitor walked out with a big gold belt. Right, so...
Chris Benoit lives!
Alright, so... going back to SmackDown.
Okay.
We've established that this is going to be a long con. And like anybody who really believes otherwise is clearly being worked.
I'm being worked.
You're a jabroni.
So let's move down the card and talk about the tag team championships. Okay. Because we saw American Alpha get booked in a very weird way at Elimination Chamber.
Weird, but
I would call it weird.
It's not weird because you see it all the time, but it's just...
It's weird
frustrating.
In the sense it was very frustrating. Because for starters, it was a tag team turmoil match. And you would have thought that since American Alpha had the gumption to challenge every team on the SmackDown
roster... open.
They would be the first competitors out. No, they're actually saved for number four. And then you take them through this ride where they're the underdogs against the Usos. And then they overcome the Usos.
And
Usos beat them down. Yeah, and then the Ascension comes out. And for a hot minute, a lot of us were actually thinking that Ricky's prediction of the Ascension winning the titles was going to come true.
I mean, as out of left field as that was... It was really funny for like that 1 minute when you suspend your disbelief ever so slightly.
I was willing to buy
I was willing to buy, they set it up. They set up with the Usos attack.
They set it up so nice.
Yeah.
So,
it could have been a good triple threat feud. It could have been a way to ease American Alpha out of the tag team title picture.
Better give them more hardship, right?
It's like they're already going to win. That for me was a given. The retain idea was there because they might lose it at WrestleMania. They hold it to WrestleMania. That would be nice. But for them to do it in that manner, na parang you're coming in midway through a match that an endurance match basically. Sayang eh.
Yeah.
The thing with the American Alpha right now is they're getting the Super Cena treatment. So now instead of saying Cena wins lol, it's Alpha wins lol.
It's not bad to say they're good. Because you know,
and it's fun to watch.
Yeah, but it's not like Cena was bad when he was getting the
people believed back then when at the height of Super Cena, at the height of Scumbag Cena, you know, meta, people didn't believe that he was good because he kept relying too much on the WWE formula and his
five moves of doom.
So it was only really until when he showed up for big matches, big pay-per-view matches, that he would, actually step up his game. But otherwise, on TV and everything, he would, you know, do the usual Superman comeback, rely too much. There was literally a match where he just did the five moves of Doom
and that was it.
Yeah.
So it's a TV match, but
yeah, it's a TV match for sure. Sure, but you can't do that shit on pay-per-view.
There were times that on TV, you'd just be like, Cena's closing the show, okay, I don't need to watch this anymore because he's going to win anyway. Mm. And there was nothing yeah. to build on in the middle of the match.
Because this is before the era of
the Open Challenge.
Yeah, US Open.
Here's my question surrounding American Alpha, though. At what point will fans begin to turn on them? Because I'm already turning on American Alpha.
Oh, not soon.
Not soon.
You're because, snarky, because that's yes. why you're in now.
And you're also quite snarky with the tag teams. I will give you that.
But the bigger problem I had was that they doubled down on this whole thing on SmackDown. Because they gave the Ascension a good long match. Pero talo pa rin sila.
Right. So they're reinforcing the idea that
they made the Ascension look better and not like total jabronis, but at the same time they still can't win anything.
Yeah, what they have with American Alpha is they've proven that they no one can really beat them.
Oh.
That they are the dominant tag team.
True. No. The main point is that no one can beat them. So now what? Now how does American Alpha lose their championships what's gonna happen to their story? Because they're good guys, but they haven't been through adversity. That was my biggest problem with American Alpha when they debuted on the main roster. Now, prior to Gable getting attacked by the Usos and American Alpha being taken out of the title picture at Backlash, they didn't really face any adversity. And we're seeing that same problem again right now.
As long as the Usos, I assume the Usos are the next in line for the championships because they've been appearing more again. I just want them to actually deal damage.
I was really hoping that this would have been the avenue for the Revival to come out as a surprise entrance and then American Alpha and then take the titles.
No,
I guess they're not done yet.
They're not done because they have a few more tapings. But
yeah, I know. I get that from today's NXT.
Okay. Na parang, I think Revival stays on NXT until after. And that's why I was playing around with the idea that American Alpha retains until after Mania. And then right after Mania, boom, the call-up for the Revival. And then that's when it starts.
I think it's given that in.
It is okay. Let's say it's given.
I have a feeling though, if the Revival get called up, I think they're going to Raw.
No, I hope not.
Why?
They would fit better on SmackDown.
Yeah, they would fit better on SmackDown. Yes, but let me
knowing
Raw, knowing the tag team division on Raw, Sheamus and Cesaro are gonna go away by WrestleMania.
After
WrestleMania, yes. I think it's still too shallow. The tag team division of SmackDown is still better served by their maximum minutes, their optimization despite the depth.
Despite the depth chart, they're still we still want them to overperform with.
That's why they're not gonna overperform. Say they can. It's like when your boss.
Yes, I see it.
It's like when your boss sees you can do more with less. They're not gonna give you more.
They're gonna keep you at that same level and try and drown you.
Yep. Corporate too good.
All right. Are we done with the American Alpha, or do we have any other thoughts on the good. Way they're?
I remember what I was gonna say, but I'm a man.
All right.
Okay.
The third topic.
We'll take that down because I'm obviously not gonna know. all right. So at Elimination Chamber, we got three women's matches, and the beautiful thing about that is how different they all were from one another.
Yes. Stylistically.
Yes.
Yeah.
Stylistically beautiful stuff.
It was easy to appreciate each match on its own because it wasn't something that you saw earlier in the night.
It might not have been like for your taste. Like for example. You might have thought that Nikki versus Natalya was too slow and too ground-based.
I honestly didn't enjoy it because I don't care for the feud. But I appreciated the fact that it was different from Becky, Mickey, and Alexa.
I was talking about the match, okay?
It's just the differentiation.
You style and wrestling in the match. So let's say that you might not have cared too much for the slow wrestling match. But these saying that these women are not pulling out the same, cookie cutter kind of match. So that's a good thing. It means that someone is progressing on SmackDown, whereas on Raw, they might not have the same kind of experience to provide something different.
Here's the thing about what happened on Raw. We all know how it ended. Main event, Bayley wins the Women's Championship. And
I dare say it
followed the same cookie-cutter formula that Sasha's title wins had.
Yeah.
That's true.
So that's the contrast between Raw and SmackDown's women's divisions in a nutshell.
Na parang, okay, for all the emotional hype that, you know, I got out of it, and I'm a Bailey fan. I'm a hugger.
But people were into it, huh?
And then people were into it. Yes, it's also true. But on, like, when you think about it for a minute, it's like, wait, shit, I saw this match 3 weeks ago with Sasha. And that's the thing. It's hard to absorb when you see that Bailey is, for all the good that she does, for all the good that she does, can't differentiate herself enough formula-wise against Charlotte, who is excellent worker, who sold great for her, but wala pa rin.
You know why? Because there's no veteran women presence on Raw. That's why. Charlotte is not a veteran. Sasha isn't a veteran. She's good, but she's not a veteran. Bailey, neither.
Why are we holding the women accountable, but not the producers behind the match?
Because they can only do so much. Because you can tell a wrestler to not to work a certain way, do a certain thing, put a certain spot in. But at the end of the day, when you're in the ring, the wrestlers are still the ones directing the action. So
yeah, but
I assume when Sasha and Charlotte and Bailey came to Raw, they didn't have a veteran presence to guide them. They were separated from Becky Lynch, right?
Right.
Becky is the most veteran out of all of the four horsewomen. And I assume that they continue their practice of heavily scripting their matches from NXT. The reason why NXT women's matches are good is because they have a lot of time to prepare for that. I'm not saying that they script it all the way down to the letter, all the way down to the last spot.
But they have so much time to work with each other.
They have so much time to edit, to revise, to come up with stuff to do, and practice.
The thing I wanted to hold the producers accountable for is the fact that yung mga run-ins during the Bayley match were the same as the Sasha Banks run-ins. Sasha Banks title wins.
Okay.
Dana Brooke, who hasn't been seen on TV for like a month suddenly comes out to help Charlotte. Look. What the fuck? That was number one. Number two, Sasha comes out instead of Ric Flair to like help out Bailey, and then the referee is distracted conveniently, which allows Bailey to get the upper hand and finally pull out the win. Okay. And then they do this in the main event of Raw, which has been done by Sasha twice previously.
In a gimmick match,
right? So paulit-ulit na lang talaga, and like maybe the long con here is that they're giving Charlotte these protracted title wins to pad her resume. To get it closer to Ric Flair's eventually.
That's probably the goal. No. She has an undefeated streak at pay-per-views.
They're trying to preserve that shit. But here's the thing. By preserving that undefeated streak, you've diluted every women's championship victory. Plus, you've made every title match predictable from here on.
That's true. I think at this point, yes, you should totally hold the producers accountable. What they're doing right now is...
The writers and the producers.
They are trying to manufacture artificially an emotional moment and a legacy as well. Thank you. They're trying to force these things, whereas on SmackDown, they happen organically. Like, every now and then, you get a strange out-of-left-field decision. Like, Naomi wins the Women's Championship at Elimination Chamber. But that's fine, because at least you now know that Alexa Bliss is good enough anyway to be champion. Becky Lynch was good enough to be champion.
And the rest of us would have been totally okay if Naomi got the Christian treatment on SmackDown.
Which is weird that she didn't, despite her injury.
Yeah.
She gets one more week.
I kind of wish, though, that she got the Christian treatment. My next week, so I'm really hoping for that.
Shit.
The emotional moment would have been so perfect.
Do you realize that if Christian was champion in SmackDown Live now, he would have had a much shorter title reign.
No.
2 days chat, but it was aired on a Friday.
Kayfabe, it was five days.
Out to.
Now, actually, if you look at the Wikipedia title race,
so 2 days.
I think there's like a differentiation. Let me look that up right now.
Technically, it's not aired until Friday, but at the same time, same place.
It does say that it's on tape delay and shit. So,
my asterisk.
No, it's not an asterisk. It's really more of just like it tells you that this is when it aired.
But in kayfabe, I would pick the Friday.
Because
that's when it technically happens. It's not.
It doesn't happen unless
it's on air.
Right. True. Right. Anyway, so
much to talk about SmackDown.
Here's a question then.
Yes.
I'm not sure if we've answered this, but ultimately, why was it okay for us to celebrate the Naomi victory whereas the Bayley victory, while it is also celebrated, there are people like us who cry foul over it.
Because Naomi...
I think we already did by saying that SmackDown is way more organic in storytelling.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Naomi's worked in the company.
I think
you
say,
also?
I think it's because you were kind of conditioned to think that something was going to go down when the main event was a women's championship match, right?
Oh. Something big has to happen.
Oh. So that, you know, they're doing that now this week, right? This episode.
Something has to happen.
Whereas Naomi literally came from out of nowhere, from underneath. To win the championship.
Yeah. Even her number one contention was a little...
No, her number one contention was fine. Because at that point you had already exhausted Becky Lynch and Alexa Bliss. No, not the permutation. That particular permutation of Becky and Alexa. Because that would have been going on for like how many months since the draft, I think?
Four. Close to.
You know, it was right after Backlash. So, okay.
All
right. Christian's reign is actually listed as having lasted just 2 days.
Okay.
Ouch.
Okay.
Right.
We love you, Christian. One more match.
So it's not okay for Bayley. It was okay.
It's okay.
People were into it. Let's give them that. People were into it, but only because of Danny Bayley as a character, as someone to be rooted for.
But do you think they should have reserved that for a bigger moment?
Yes.
No, I don't think it should have been reserved for a bigger moment. At this point, I think we live in a period, in an era, in a... especially at the advent of SmackDown, who is doing so much more with so much less. At this point, I think it's okay to not save these things for pay-per-view to make sure TV is must-watch.
Yeah. I just feel that the Bayley moment would have been great at Mania. It's one of those things that you can make it happen at Mania. The childhood dream comes true, literally, at Mania, and it would have been great.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
Yes, it's fine that it didn't happen, but it's one of those things that it sets up so well, eh?
Yeah, I get it.
Okay, so
Categorically, it's okay then to not...
Categorically, it's okay, but in an ideal world.
Yes, in an ideal world.
Here's what I want us to answer after everything we've said about Bayley. And Charlotte, what happened is clearly a result of the bigger end game. They want to protect the undefeated streak of Charlotte at pay-per-view.
Yes. Yeah.
Is that streak still worth protecting?
No.
Given the consequences,
it's contrived. The second that they promoted it, because we didn't see it, right? We were just like, once they say it's 16
and 0. People noticed it. It was just a coincidence back then.
Yeah.
But then they started owning it.
And then the second they own it, and the second that they start promoting it and turning it into a thing, you're just like, oh, fuck.
The second they own it, it's weird. And it also doesn't make any sense because you're undefeated in pay-per-view. So what? You lost every other time on
TV. The title was on the line.
But it doesn't make you that good because it just means that you, I guess, are a big game James. But otherwise, it's kind of worse because the implication is in a regular season game, you're going to lose. And you know, you're gonna lose your championship.
Which doesn't make it the regular season.
Huh?
Which doesn't
I mean
Yeah, I know,
what
I know,
mean,
what, I know what you mean. I know what you,
you
mean.
Know.
Sorry, that's parang, the flaw in your analogy.
Yeah.
Okay. But I get what you mean.
Right. So now that we're done with Bayley and the women's
but
championship.
But we're really happy for Bayley.
We are.
Let's just make that clear.
Like, I do believe that people are making too much out of it because it didn't happen on pay-per-view.
But we still love
it. But at the end of the day, that's a really shallow reason to not...
To not like it.
To not like it. I think at this point, the better reason to not like it is that they kind of rushed it and it wasn't...
That's one of the problems I had.
It wasn't a satisfying build-up to anything.
No, and paulit-ulit nga kasi. Like, they did this with Sasha in the past. And like, I marked out, I got emotional over Sasha.
Yeah.
And then when I saw that happen again, I was like, wait, I think I've seen this movie before.
And then
now that I'm seeing this with Bayley, I'm like, okay, now I am unemotional at all.
Alam mo nang ginagago kayo. Alam mo nang pinagdadaroon yung feelings mo.
Right. So
just
I
like
refuse.
A Jollibee commercial.
Yeah. So that's why I refuse to watch those Jollibee commercials.
That's like
again.
A Jollibee commercial.
No, well,
and that's why I refuse to get emotional over the Bayley win. Right?
Speaking of the Jollibee commercials.
Fucking Jollibee.
They at least, you know, pulled off a good plan by not making the third video anything related to romantic love.
Actually, yeah. I mean, Val and Crush weren't you, all that good, but date, though. Date.
Anthony, your corporation.
That was a piece of work.
Bibili ka naman ng ano,
C3. Bumili naman ako ng C3 mamaya, tangina nyo. Oh well, babasa, I feel your pain.
Speaking of pain, there was a lot of pain. There was a lot of pain that we all went through when we caught the Festival of Friendship on
Raw. Oh God, we're going there.
Did you?
Feelings? We're gonna talk about feelings now?
I didn't know it was gonna happen that soon.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Nobody saw it coming.
Fuck it. You know, when I saw the Festival of Friendship,
but after you find out what was gonna happen, like, you know, if you didn't see everything else, by the first, I know, by the first
reveal.
No. By the first moment you see Kevin Owens interact with Jericho, halata man something's going down. He wasn't as happy.
But it was such a great...
Yeah, I actually noticed this. I noticed this, but I thought it was just going to end in some swerve.
What happened last week?
They're still going to be together.
Yeah.
Last week on Raw was when Jericho accepted Goldberg's challenge on behalf of KO.
So that's
the trigger. That was the trigger. That's the trigger. And then the whole week, KO's like, yeah, well, Jericho's my friend, but we have a festival coming up.
So basically, Jericho was being you. Yeah, so that's why their friendship broke up.
I'm a trope now?
Yes. You're very much a trope.
I'm a trope
now. So Jericho was being you. And like, so para may justification.
But the thing was,
Jericho... Like, Sami Zayn would have never done that for Kevin Owens.
No, he wouldn't, because Sami Zayn was better.
Sami Zayn would have given Kevin Owens his agency.
Let's talk about the thing.
The Festival of Friendship segment as it went down, you could tell it was so campy, it was so
pokey. It was so outrageous.
Because it was outrageous.
It was so good.
Yeah, no, in the context of Jericho's over-the-topness and KO's not impressed face.
Yeah.
Alam mo lang may something na mangyayari.
Yeah, but I really didn't think it was going to be the turn. I really thought that they were just going to kiss and make up in the ring, and Kevin Owens and Jericho would share a hug.
Yeah.
Or you know, they would pick a fight with somebody.
Roman Reigns.
I really thought that part, it was going to be like all the other times that they've teased this, that it's like, yeah, I hate you, but you're my friend.
Yeah. And then bigla na lang na, you know,
oh my God.
Jericho takes out the list.
The list.
Like, why is how come my name's on this list?
By the way, the list of Jericho now available as merch on the WWE.
Yeah,
shop.
Matagal na, like 2 weeks ago pa.
Okay, going back to the breakup.
So good. Okay.
I think if I'm reading this right, I think that they're setting the breakup up as how Kevin Owens loses the championship to Goldberg. It's not going to be a straight up squash. I believe Jericho is going to be involved somehow.
And yep. Then it's Jericho KO at Mania for the United States.
That's how you make it less
less painful. That
yeah,
that
less Goldberg's... damaging for Owens.
Yeah,
okay, that's fine. So that's how.
In a way, it's kind of like an inverse of what Goldberg did for Eddie. Sure. In a way.
Hey! I like that one.
We're going full circle there.
Absolutely.
Very unplanned and improvised.
Yeah. So, I can kind of live with that. Because that's what I thought when I saw this thing go down.
If it goes that way.
If it happens this way, I can live with this. Now,
this
I can also
live with...
This
would make a very fun article, though, on Smart Henry, like 2 years from now.
Okay.
If it goes down that way. Yeah.
Friends with Goldberg, John Jericho.
Jericho hates Goldberg.
Yeah. If you read Undisputed. No. Even
and
in
real
life.
No, but in kayfabe, he has gone on to say, I don't like you.
Ah, yes. Yeah, that was just like last week. Right.
That was last week.
No, but then, no.
In light of the feud,
no, like,
right?
I've never liked you type. I don't like you.
Yeah, he's like, I never liked you, Bill, or something. He did say that.
Yeah.
Bill.
So.
Damn it, Bill.
I don't know about you guys, but when I was watching this, it was airing live on Fox Sports. Oh, and I stood there, mouth agape. Like until the moment where Jericho's head got smashed through in candy glass, I was like, that was what broke me out of the trance. So I was literally
that was
in a trance,
so good.
And I don't remember the last segment I watched. Now I was just standing there in a trance.
But that's the thing. Yeah, this was okay. I think I messaged you like on one of our chats that is it because you were saying it was so good, so good. I'm like, is this like The Rock's This Is Your Life for Mick Foley?
Yes, pretty much.
And I'm like, yes, this is our modern day equivalent of that.
If you haven't seen it, This Is Your Life, by the way, you should go look it up. Especially on the one
WWE Network.
Especially the one Mick did for The Rock.
That was great. That was great. No, that's what I'm
actually kind of doesn't age well that much.
It doesn't age well at all.
Oh.
But it's still so funny.
But I think this one, The Festival of Friendship, is something that will like age pretty
well. This is gonna age well, but yes, you were saying.
Did you know that Sparks didn't like the This Is Your Life segment back then?
Why?
I don't know. It went too long, it was too campy, I guess.
I loved it.
But I loved it, right?
I loved it. And then when you're watching it for the first time...
I was like 13 years old, right? So.
Yeah, and when you're watching it for the first time, you're like, oh my god, they actually do this in wrestling?
He ate that old woman's pie?
No, but just to get back on track here with the Festival of Friendship...
The one thing I didn't understand
this
was like,
wait, this is
why didn't he enjoy having fun with Gilbert?
Wait, so, you know, Owens or Jerry?
Owens. That was, it's like, I get to stomp Gilbert.
Yeah,
I know, I think at that point he just had enough of it.
He just took it out on Gilbert.
But
Owens points to them for actually getting Dwayne Gilbert.
I think it's an easy thing for them to do. Whenever they need Dwayne Gill, as long as he's alive.
Like, yo, you want to come down to Raw?
Sure. I mean, they do that for everyone. They did it for Spirit Squad, for...
Hey, Spirit Squad had an extended run.
Yeah, longer than now I miss them.
Yeah, because they're another legit tag team who could do some, you know, who would make waves on SmackDown.
Yeah, Kenny's legit.
Okay, last on the Festival of Friendship. This is my contender for promo of the year.
Wasn't even a promo.
It is technically a promo because there is no wrestling going on.
Yeah.
This is promo of the year.
Killed Gilbert.
Yeah, that is a year service to mankind.
Year end award sweep, calling it now. Somebody do better.
I have a feeling. You should team up with James Ellsworth.
Gilbert.
Like jabronis who stayed longer
than they should have. You know what? SmackDown would always find a home for these guys.
It's true.
Yeah, it is true. Exactly.
And it's unironic.
Yes.
It is unironic at this point. It's so beautiful. All
right. Now, we know Festival the direction Kevin Owens is going to go, at least for WrestleMania, but there are some news and bits of rumors coming out that the long-term plan for Kevin Owens is to be in a stable with Samoa Joe and Triple H.
So the Helmsleys. The Helmsley kids.
So when you take a look at this and you consider the fact that all of the NXT alumni are pretty much Triple H's kids, that accounts for like half the roster. So
half the roster now.
Yeah, half the current roster. So does,
is that even true?
Actually,
it's cruiserweight division, yes. But,
okay, you know,
and
if you take into consideration the entirety of the roster, including the UK brand, NXT currently.
That's
what I'm trying to make. The point that.
But if it's just Raw and SmackDown's active roster,
Raw,
yeah, like
SmackDown,
half of them are NXT alumni. At this
Raw,
point.
SmackDown, and cruiserweights who appear in purple ropes. Yes.
What if Enzo and Cass turn heel?
Why though? Like, you can't take them seriously as they are.
Yes,
it's going to be.
But
tough.
They are dicks.
Yeah, that's true. But it's going to be a tough sell. No. I'm not gonna buy it. It'll take a long time.
It has to stew it.
What we were talking about before this conversation began, before the podcast began, was we're trying to frame this Triple H Samoa Kevin Owens group as this generation's version of
Evolution.
So if Triple H is the new Ric Flair and Samoa Joe is the new Triple H.
No, he's a new Batista.
He's the new Batista.
Ah, sorry, Samoa Joe's a new Batista. So you know,
because he's the muscle.
He's Samoan.
He's a destroyer.
He's an Islander.
He's the destroyer.
Right. So Kevin Owens, is he the new Triple H or is he the new Randy Orton? Because he can argue that he's the new Triple H.
Because he's already a champion.
Heel champion. And being the guy who'll probably stick around in the main event scene. But you can also argue that Kevin Owens is relatively young.
Compared to
on the main roster,
yeah.
Compared to several stars.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, my thing with that analogy is that you don't take into consideration the fact that Kevin Owens is on another level compared to everyone else.
But it's not apparent,
and it's not apparent yet.
Okay,
it can be.
No, it was apparent until they reduced him to a comedy heel,
and then they
brushed.
Come on, big demon, Lisa.
Oh.
To be fair.
After the Festival of Friendship.
Yeah. Just now. Just this week.
So that still counts for something.
It does. It does. But...
So we go back. What does this make Kevin Owens? Is he the Triple H or the Randy Orton of this version of Evolution?
He has the potential to be the Triple H. And as of now, as title holder, I call him the Triple H. All the potential in the world is inside his big fluffy body, and I love it. Because Kevin Owens is just that guy right now.
Okay.
He is the great white North Canadian hope of WWE.
Really? Not Sami Zayn?
Not yet.
Really?
Not yet.
How many Canadians are on the roster?
Three.
Shadan?
Three.
Seriously?
Jericho?
Oh.
Owens? Sami.
You're forgetting Jinder.
Jinder is Canadian! I forget that. I thought he was... I know, Arya Daivari's from Minnesota.
Yes.
Yes, sorry. I get them confused.
So let's just group all the Middle Eastern people.
No.
Kidding.
No.
India's not in the Middle East, friends.
Yeah, Tyler Breeze is Canadian, too.
Tyler Breeze is Canadian?
So is Victor.
Oh, Victor is Canadian. Oh. He's from the dungeon. Victor's from the dungeon.
He's the last alumnus of the dungeon.
Tyson Kidd is Canadian.
Tyson Kidd's effectively retired.
Fuck that.
Going back.
Sorry, sidetrack.
If Kevin Owens is the Triple H of this evolution...
Who's
the new Randy Orton?
Who's the Randy Orton?
Or should they get a Randy Orton in the first place?
Yes.
Originally, Evolution was just three guys.
And then,
until they brought in Mark Jindrak.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then they brought in Randy Orton.
To replace him, yeah.
Yeah.
So is Finn the likeliest candidate?
Finn can be. A returning Finn Balor who ties to this corporate NXT.
Yeah, I agree.
But why chain him here when you can reform your Bullet Club on Raw?
Because
that's too easy.
That's low-hanging fruit right there.
But isn't WWE all about low-hanging fruit?
Raw is about low-hanging fruit.
SmackDown is not.
The thing is...
No. The Bullet Club scenario is that why would you go for a Bullet Club and be upper mid-carders at best when you can join the main event scene? With the Helmsley kids. The Helmsley bunch.
Because Finn fits the mold. Finn fits the mold as the athletic beast that can perform on another level.
Yeah, basically the blue chipper. He's a blue chipper.
He's perpetually a blue chipper if he stays healthy. Now, take into consideration that you can also easily turn him face.
Like Orton.
Now, he can be the one betrayed in this situation. Or...
What?
Roman Reigns. Randy Orton. Can you imagine? This is something we didn't think about.
Why isn't
Roman Reigns in this conversation?
You might as well turn a dick heel anyway.
Yeah.
Because he is a dick heel.
He's a dick already, as is.
And then let Finn run amok. Alone.
Let
him be the antithesis of this stable. Yeah.
Who was a face and a figure at that time?
Shawn Michaels.
Yeah. Yes.
Tapos later on, Chris Benoit.
Jericho.
Edge for a while.
Edge. Edge never lasted in that role.
Sadly.
Yeah.
Benoit.
Yeah, Michaels, Benoit.
Wasn't a standard bearer to rally around, though.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he was a beating bull.
It was really Michaels.
Yeah.
It was really Shawn Michaels.
Sad.
It's not that sad.
Yeah, it was. Because, he was...
No, it's not that sad, but it's sad.
No, it was absolutely sad because Michaels never won.
Yeah, Michaels never won. And then he never... You kind of deny that
there was
spot,
no resolution.
That top face spot for
so many other guys.
Tapos wala pa yung redemption story because Benoit came in and he took his own redemption story, which was based on the meta-narrative that Benoit had. So, really, the Shawn Michaels arc didn't have a happy ending when you take a look at it.
Yeah, because it was all Triple H. I guess he was willing to in a month to put over 100 since Michaels was old at the time.
Yeah. But ang lungkot lang for the fans, for the viewers, because you're really hoping for Evolution to get its comeuppance. And it eventually happens. But at the hands of the guys who turned away from Evolution.
Yeah. Yes.
Not at the hands of the standard bearer who fought against
them. So, the only thing that could destroy Evolution was itself. Yes.
So when you take a look at the story, it's actually a pretty sad story. It's a tragedy.
It's a Greek tragedy.
No, well,
yes. Okay,
yeah, it is, yes.
Yeah. It is. Or, yes. Or may pagka-black comedy din siya kasi nga sila-sila rin nagkainan afterward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice that we can deconstruct the arc of evolution like 12 years after it ended. I like this.
By comparing them to their next generation.
No, not really.
Like, it's like Degrassi.
How do we...
It's Degrassi.
How do we analyze, 2014 oh, evolution then?
2014?
Yes.
Yeah,
you batch of 20.
When they reunited, yeah.
Yeah.
Bunch of old guys.
Yeah, a bunch of old guys who just
well,
wanted
they
to
were
leave
tough
a
for a while.
10-year reunion.
They were tough for a while until they realized that the shield was tougher, so they just stuck. And then Batista went to Hollywood.
Film James Bond.
No.
Guardians
and James Bond.
To promote Guardians and then to film Spectre.
Yeah. That's
yeah.
what I was saying.
And look at him now. He's gonna
yeah, if you're stuck within the confines of WWE canon, how do you explain the destruction of that brief evolution reunion? Well, it's just the shield, right?
It's the shield.
Well, at that point, then someone else to destroy them. The shield.
Ah, kumbaga nakahanap na sila ng katapat.
Oh.
No, the shield destroys them, and then they destroy the shield.
Hunter destroys the shield. So technically. You can argue then
Triple
that,
H lol wins.
No. Triple A Evolution got destroyed by themselves, but by the new generation of Hunter's kids.
Is Seth in the conversation for the Randy Orton role?
No.
Not anymore, because he already fulfilled that in the Authority.
Yeah.
Ah, true.
So he's already transcended that role.
He's past that.
He's yes. trying to be new Shawn Michaels. At this point.
Yeah, except Shawn can actually walk and perform.
Ouch.
I can argue now, though, that among active competitors, now that Daniel Bryan's retired, Seth Rollins is the new Derrick Rose of yeah. wrestling.
Oh, God.
He's the new Mr. Glass.
Are we going there?
Yes, we're totally going there. It totally applies. Yeah. Thinking out loud can now be dedicated to Seth Rollins every time.
Man!
To be fair, that Theis's recent injury isn't as bad.
It's not catastrophic.
Yeah, but pretty soon, his legs literally won't be able to work like they used to before.
I wonder. Well, he has to find out what Rey Mysterio's secret is.
Marijuana.
Do you ever get scared that Seth eventually becomes a Hayabusa?
No. He's not that
spotty. He's not that reckless with his high spots.
That's why they're the cruiserweights.
Yes!
The cruiserweights exist.
For the flippy shit.
What about the AJ? Like, with the amount of flippy shit that AJ does.
No. AJ's flippy shit is safer.
Oh, super, super safe. It's not high risk.
It's not
the highest of high
it's
risk.
It's flashy and effective, and it works within...
No. I would classify AJ's high flying as fundamental high flying.
Oh.
There's no stupid shit. It's always shit 450s? That...
Sorry, you can't be a Tim Duncan and be a high flyer. Because Tim Duncan was never flashy. Right? So
true,
don't give me
point,
that
he
shit.
He has a point.
You have a point. Okay, let's change the analogy. So Vince Carter. Vince Carter smooth.
Okay. No, I would say that
I can live
Vince
that.
Carter
he
smooth.
Was like an early dunker. Na yung hindi super flashy, but
Dominique Wilkins.
Probably, yeah. Spud Webb.
No, Spud Webb was flashy.
Anyway. AJ
Larry
Styles.
Nance Sr.
Damas, stop it.
Stop being cool. Stop trying to be cool. But AJ, yeah, AJ, it was...
It's fun.
His spouse is a safe high flying. I would say that...
Between the 450...
And the,
450,
all the
springboard
shit.
All of the... His cross bodies are really
very
high.
Safe.
Very safe.
No, all of those, they don't depend on too much flips. They don't land on your neck or whatever. I would say that Lindsay Dorado and Grand Metalik are much more in danger of being the next Hayabusa.
Or Kota Ibushi.
Yes.
No, Kota Ibushi.
Especially motherfucking Kota. Fuck you.
Fuck, man. He makes me uncomfortable.
Yun. Ini tusunod na Hayabusa.
Holy shit, how does this guy not have multiple neck surgeries yet?
I think he has. Had multiple neck surgeries.
I wouldn't be surprised if in 5 years Ibushi would sound like Eric Young.
Oh God.
Anyway, we're about to end this podcast, but we got to talk about some stuff that happened outside the ring. One of them being that Vader has told everyone that he is on his final days, that he's about to die. Do we believe this? Yeah, he did say this on Twitter.
Okay, yeah, I believe it.
I believe it.
Do you know his son used to be in FCW?
Nope.
Nope. Anyway. But the thing is, okay, Vader was great. Was a great wrestler. But towards the end, talagang ang hirap siyang mahalin eh.
Yeah, I'll always have him in Boy Meets World. That's
yeah,
it.
that's one. But the thing is, it's so hard to
he became a crusty old man. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, especially with the Will Ospreay shit.
Will Ospreay's a dick, but you know.
Yes, okay. But they got a match out of it.
So, my question now is, will he get the Hall of Fame nod while he's breathing?
No.
Because if he doesn't make it the next year, and they don't name him this year.
I don't know what the timeline is for WWE finalizing the Hall of Fame, but if there's still time, then might as well do it now.
Might as well do it now, because he deserves
reactive,
it.
Right?
But does he deserve it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Was he ever world champion?
WCW, yes.
So he held the big gold belt.
Oh.
Yes. The thing is, he's not... Okay.
He's legendary. I would say he's legendary.
He's like Bam Bam Bigelow in the way that you forget how good this guy was. And you forget that he actually...
But I don't think you forget how good Vader was. You just think he's a dick.
Kumbaga, his recent actions have overshadowed his legacy.
Like, back in the day when I was a kid...
He was like, scary.
I don't ever believe having seen Vader. But Vader was a household name, as you know, in wrestling.
I remember.
That's how legendary he is.
No, I remember Vader against Taker, and then that was scary for me. Like, he posed a threat to the scariest dude on the roster, and that made me scared as a kid. So there's that for me, for Vader.
He deserves it.
He deserves it.
All right.
Because so many people have done so much less.
True.
So now it's just a wait and see game to see. If
they want to do it, they'll do it no money. Unless they want to give him the first ballot spot. No. They gave to Angle.
I don't think he'll ever headline a class, though.
There you go.
He could, though.
Because if si Christian nga won't get the headline a class, what more Vader?
No, Vader have accomplished way more than Christian, though.
It's true. You just like him more.
Hmm.
No, I will admit to not really having seen a lot of Vader stuff. So, like, I'm operating off of what you're telling me. Now, okay. Other things that happened outside and kind of inside the ring. Emelina finally debuted.
After
a bunch of shit went down.
17 weeks.
Yeah, after 17 weeks of teasing. And now she's going to get another makeover back to Emma. Which at this point actually sounds like a smart move given what we know now. That Emma actually doesn't like the role and isn't comfortable pulling it off.
I don't know if she was ever comfortable, but I do believe that she couldn't do it.
They pushed it.
You know, literally couldn't do it because...
Emma can't act.
No, not the one Emma can't act, but Emma is not your traditional diva. That's what they wanted, kasi. They wanted to be a throwback to divas of old, the past decade.
Like the Stacey Keiblers and the Tori Wilsons.
Mismo. And
pero hindi.
It's,
in
addition to being a stupid idea in the midst of the women's revolution and all that, why would you give an actual wrestler, something like that? Why not just give it to Eva Marie?
I think because Eva Marie's on her way out, but like there have been rumors about Eva Marie transitioning out.
Whatever, you know what I mean.
Make fun of her at least.
Yung mga babae hindi pa kasing galing nila, ano.
So like the Liv Morgans.
No, not the Liv Morgans.
No, she's still pretty.
No, sloppy. what I mean to say is those who are more on looks and not on work rate,
which doesn't qualify to most of the NXT.
Yeah, heroes, at this point, because you know they have been
they've been
overhauling
recruiting.
It.
Yeah.
If they are really bringing back Kelly Kelly, then why not give that to Kelly Kelly?
Oh, are they?
They're rumors.
Wow.
It's circulating.
What, is Wags not making enough money?
I guess not.
Maybe not.
Jeez. I would like to see Kelly Kelly back, though. But like, didn't she say on Austin's podcast that her back's been too messed up from like all the wrestling over the years?
Well,
and shit?
She could just...
Wrestling. I don't know.
Wow. Quote unquote?
Yeah, she sucks.
It's true.
Her basics suck.
That's true.
She can't run the rope.
That is also true.
Well, I guess even to mean she's doing something wrong. That's why she's super injured.
Yeah, nabulag lang tayo lahat ng ano, just how hot Kelly was.
Yeah. Oh well.
All right. So Emmeline is done. One last bit before we get our picks of the week. Let's talk about TJP.
Ah.
And how we have feelings about
the problems
where he's going right now.
Because we love TJ.
Oh.
That is not going away.
It makes me. It makes me feel hurt.
Conflicted.
No, not conflicted. Just hurt. Because to say you're conflicted means to not understand the problem and not accept it. I accept the problem that he is conflicted about what he wants to be, what they're trying to make him to be. I see a lot of people not liking TJ, and I understand why. Because he really doesn't come off as a face.
That's true, yeah.
He's not the true
face. He doesn't come off... he's good, but, you know, all of this baggage surrounding his character and what he actually is preventing people from seeing how good he is.
And he's acting too cocky, like, oh. He's not like Jack Gallagher, who just exudes confidence.
He's a gentleman.
Yeah, and he's being a gentleman about it. With TJ, it's braggadocio.
Oh.
And I think that's what separates him as this baby face, or this... round peg in a square hole.
I think also that's how he really is.
As a human being?
As a human being, yes. Off screen. Without all the put-ons of being a WWE superstar, right? So, at this point, I think it's like... I dubbed him the cruiserweight version of Roman Reigns or scumbag John Cena. And I don't know why. Roman Reigns, because he is a dick that doesn't know he's a dick.
Okay,
and or knows he's a dick, but is still pretending he's not a dick.
Byron refuses to acknowledge his dickishness.
But I think TJ is worse because I think he knows he's a dick and is he's not still pretending he's a dick.
So which one of them is Duterte?
High fives!
No, TJ, because he's Pinoy.
Oh.
Just kidding. I'm just playing. He's not that bad.
We still love him for who he is.
He's not that bad.
He probably didn't vote for him also.
Because he couldn't vote for the Philippine president. Counts. What the hell are you talking about?
So, going back to
TJ. But you say these things and then you end up looking stupid anyway. So what are you trying to do? You called him conflicted ka rin eh.
Conflicted talaga ako, papi.
Wait, so enough of that. Okay. How do you fix TJ Perkins?
Just make him a heel. Just
stay with heel. Exactly. Yeah, it's so easy.
Somebody said that he should be Pinoy's. Yes, he should be Pinoy's.
That's it.
Absolutely.
100%. He just talks trash 100% whether he's winning or he's losing.
Oh, whether it makes sense or not, just have him talk trash.
Here's the problem, though. The Pinoy's thing is something we all understand.
Because it will transcend.
No, you're right. It will transcend because you think it's just a Filipino thing because you see it in your friends' feeds, but if you actually do play video games online, you will see that this thing knows no nationality. It just so happens that we are worse at it because we are less civilized as a people.
We are uncivilized online people. Just get it over with.
Yeah, sure. But it also does have... It does no nationality, no ethnicity. So
the Koreans are like this.
We just call it Pinoy because we see...
The ASEAN sees us.
No. We see the people who are in our environment.
Like we see the Jepoy Dizons.
Oh, we see the Jepoy Dizons.
In our world.
But if you just transpose that to wherever TJ is, Americans would see the same thing. They would understand the same thing as well.
I actually see the value of a TJP heel turn. Because when you look at the cruiserweight division, they need heels. Aside from King Neville and Brian Kendrick. And maybe Tony Nese. Like, there aren't really a lot of...
Tony Nese.
There aren't really a lot of heels that have teeth. Because Drew Gulak is the jobber.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine.
No, it's not fine. Because
it's not fine because he's good.
Yeah, he's good. And your roster is really lacking in heels. Oh. And there are too many baby faces. Like, I don't think you can ever boo the Bollywood boys just because.
No. They haven't even shown up. They just showed up last week at NXT.
Yeah. Two matches.
They showed up to get demolished.
So what is up with the Bollywood boys?
They are jobbers. They're jabrones.
They're still... I think they're
still...
But
they won, though.
They won. And they're still on the PC, I think.
Okay.
Reacclimating. They're not... No, they're not that bad. I mean, they're good enough to be...
They're just jabronis.
Good enough to
be... Oh, by the way, Indians who are... six who are listening to this podcast, why are they not... You know, why is their last name not Singh?
Yeah, because Camus can corroborate this. This is shit they actually taught us in Savior. Now, if you are a Sikh, and if you're male, your last name is Singh, and if you're female, your last name is Kaur.
I didn't know this until he brought it up.
It's true.
It actually is a rule. Wow.
Yeah.
It is a thing.
So if they really do practice Sikhism, why are their last names Sira?
Where are they from again?
They're from Canada.
No, Canada. Maybe that's why. Maybe Canada.
Yeah, but their last name is Sira. Like that's their.
I have a friend who's a Singh, by the way.
So do I.
I don't think their family is Sikh. Is your friend's family Sikh?
Indy's last name is Singh.
Yeah, is she a Sikh?
I don't think so. I think she's like not religious. I wouldn't know.
It happens. Anyway. So that's it?
DJ. DJ? Just turn heel. That's all we ask. See, it really is doing a lot of damage. A lot of things don't line up, like how he's this weird, nerdy gamer, but then he's suddenly, all of a sudden, swaggy athlete who talks trash. He's actually a huge dick.
He could channel Nick Young. He should just be Swaggy P or Swaggy T.
Swaggy T. Yeah.
He could do that. If he does that, it would satisfy the Laker fan in him.
You know how much of a dick he is? The things he said to Neville on this week's episode of 205 Live.
So
Heels wouldn't even say that.
He called Neville Mr. Glass.
Yeah, Heels wouldn't say that. Kasi, you know, baka sahaling matalo sila. And then you would say about them, you got beaten by Mr. Glass.
Which didn't happen.
Yeah, exactly. You got beaten by someone who had glass ankles.
Ah, TJ.
So I don't know who is not self-aware in this scenario, whether it's the writers or TJ himself. I think it's the writers,
because they're feeding him this shit. And you could tell him with a half-hearted delivery. But you could tell with a half-hearted delivery that he's not buying into it. But, even from when he was champion.
Which one? The face thing or the
baby face thing? Yeah, the baby face character. You could tell.
He's for his sake, though, to his credit, he's such a company man.
Yes.
I mean, he understands. This is his biggest break.
Yeah, I guess.
And that he's... There's nowhere to go for him but up after this.
I wouldn't say that.
With a heel turn. With a heel turn.
I'm just saying that, you know, after almost 2 decades of plugging away, you wouldn't really want to blow your shot right now by...
He's not throwing away his shot.
Not going with the flow.
He is not throwing away his shot right now.
I don't know. It sucks that he was dealt that hand.
Yeah.
It's a rough hand, but it's not the be-all, end-all of it.
I think the gamer thing was originally his idea. But
execution wasn't.
Execution then was also his idea. I think he's just really not creative.
DJ?
Yeah, I think he has no design savvy.
If he came up with his Lucha Vava Voom costume as a fireman's stripper, though.
I don't know.
Is this the one from that long form piece?
Yes.
The one with the exoticos?
Yep. Yes.
Ah.
If that was his idea, he's got some spark.
Pinico wala siyang creative savvy talaga. I think that is my take on TJ.
If I ever meet him in LA, I'll make sure to ask him that.
Who came up with your everything?
Yeah. Whose idea?
Are you suicide?
No. Anyway,
he was manic.
We're about to end this week's episode of the podcast, and before we do that, we need to give you our picks of the week.
Yeah.
All right, Camus, what's your pick?
I'm going with the chamber match.
Fucking.
You didn't call shit. You
didn't call dibs on
it. No one called shit this week. Chamber match was great. I'm sorry. Bray Wyatt winning it all just makes me happy. It satisfies so many narratives and it builds new ones. It's the chamber back to the way it's supposed to be. 5 stars.
Fine. I have a match. Yeah. UK Championship match. Trent Seven versus Tyler Bate.
Awesome. Great shit. Pick. Yeah.
Nakakad. Naka jar siya kasi you don't get used to long matches on NXT anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
It's been a while.
I think that adding the UK division was a good move for them. It gives them more depth.
It gives them more exposure.
It gives NXT more depth. But at the same time, it's also another thing you have to put over in NXT.
No, I think it's fine because like even from the crowd reactions, but you can tell that Full Sail's ready to accept.
No, I mean yes. It's not quite what I meant by putting over. I mean, like, it's another thing to cram within the already crammed NXT hour.
Unless they go to the hour and a half or two.
Yeah.
At this point. But you know they're not going to do that.
You never know.
I think at this rate, okay na ako dun sa structure of this week's episode na there were just three matches, two short ones, and then promos and segments.
No
Bobby Roode.
The Miz did not appear after the chamber.
Who, sorry?
The Miz.
Yeah, he didn't.
It wasn't on this week.
Right. My pick is the main event of SmackDown, which was really fun. Cena versus Wyatt versus AJ. Really fun match. Yeah. Probably one of the best TV matches we've seen in a while. And
But I think you say that every week on SmackDown now.
Yeah.
At this point.
And
which says a lot about the way SmackDown's been done.
And not just that, but the fact that Cena is on a roll.
Yeah.
On a roll of losing?
On a roll of losing and on a roll of
good matches.
Roll of good matches. Okay. This is his best streak since the US Open title challenges.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess, but I think it's also a function of us just not used to having Cena there a lot now. Kasi nga, part-timer na siya.
Oh, so. Man, no.
I wouldn't say he's a part-timer yet.
He's getting there.
Yeah, he's almost getting there. Yeah.
He is
he's still a Scorpion King Rock or Mummy Rock.
Yeah.
He's stepping the line. He toes the line.
Yeah, but at least it took Cena a decade. See, Rock, it took him, what, 3 years?
Oh,
he's getting Scorpion King Rock. Mas malaki naman yung impact niya.
Wow. Look at him now.
He has way more charisma, for sure.
Also true.
All right, that brings us to the end of episode 153 of the SGP podcast. We got to thank everybody who's caught the latest episode of The Wrestling Gods and who's been giving us some love and constructive criticism on social media. Thank you so much.
And they have a contractual obligation to be nice to you now.
Yeah, if you say you like the show, then yes, that's
yeah,
true.
You get a thanks, man.
I bet it pains you so
episode
much.
2 actually airs again next week on Fox Sports.
Fox Sports.
Nice. Yeah, so we've been airing on Fox previously, but now we're going to be moving to Fox Sports for episode 2. It's going to be
forever and a bit.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
We're going to have to ask our producers. But if you've caught if you haven't caught the show, you can actually catch it next week at 8:50 right before Raw and SmackDown, and then right after the live telecast of Raw and SmackDown on Fox Sports, you'll be catching the Wrestling Gods right before the next sport we don't give a shit about.
Speaking of did they ever show Chamber on Fox Sports?
No, they did not.
They didn't.
So people were actually I heard someone message me
saying it was
no saying that they were expecting the Elimination Chamber but then seeing us. So we're really sorry about that. It's not our fault.
But we would like to blame The Walking Dead.
Oh, again. It's always The Walking Dead's fault.
Yeah, I had to pull my dad away from The Walking Dead mid-season premiere to catch the Chamber match.
If you can, just get the fucking network.
Yeah, yeah. This is my concern with a lot of people who keep asking, like, where can I watch? If Fox isn't showing it, where can I watch? Please, do yourself a favor. And if you have the money,
get the network.
We're going to shoot a little bit on Fox here. I mean, you know, they're our providers. But at the same time, we also have to tell you that they really will not give you all the pay-per-views.
Yeah,
much as we want them to, as much as you want them to. Maybe if you try hard enough, you could get them to. But at this point, if you want to watch everything, you either have to find your illegal streams or get the network. How to fix this? Just get the network. Tweet Fox at FoxChannel_PH. That's right,
yes,
right?
Yeah, that's the Twitter handle.
Tell them you want all the fucking pay-per-views. And then maybe when they renegotiate, whenever that is, when they come to the table, they will ask the WWE to give them all the pay-per-views. And I'm sure the WWE will want to give them all. Then tell them to get the SmackDown pay-per-views.
Instead.
Yeah, because those are the better shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That works.
Tell them all the things. Tell them that they're totally missing out on the better pay-per-views, that they're stupid for not taking the SmackDown pay-per-views.
Well, not stupid. Just say silly.
Fine. They're silly.
One last thing. Just because we appear on TV wearing wrestling shirts and we can afford to tack them on the wall as additional decorations, it doesn't mean we fucking work for WWE shop, all right? Like, as much as I'd like to import your WWE t-shirts, I just can't do that right now.
If we did work for WWE shop, we wouldn't give you anything.
No. To be fair, these people are asking me to sell them these shirts. And I can't sell you the shirts I've already worn. Because one, that's kind of gross. And two, I like my shirts. So
it's a collection.
Yeah, it's part of a collection. So, no, I don't work at WWE, unlike your Facebook profiles indicate.
Oh.
Your Facebook profiles, not mine.
Oh.
But I just have to make it clear that WWE shop does sell to the Philippines. So, you know, just order from there,
man.
But we haven't tried actually having them shipped to the Philippines.
Yeah, other people have, and it costs twice the price. So let's say if your shirt is $24.99 in US currency, in US dollars. It'll be double that for one shirt just because of shipping and taxes.
Thanks Bureau of Customs.
Yeah.
Yeah, so thanks to Duterte. The Bureau of Customs is an executive office.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so just try your luck. If you have a relative or a friend coming home from the US, do leverage that relationship. It's going to be way, way cheaper for you. Right. Anyway, that brings us to the end for real. So on behalf of Romoran and Raf Camus, who can't shut up, my name is Stunning Stan C. We're out of here.
Peace.
Goodbye. Gloria.